Grace and peace to you from Harvester Reformational Church in Milnerton, Cape Town, the mother city of South Africa. Founding Apostle Andre and Prophet Nola Pelser have reached almost 100 nations to date, fulfilling the great command to love and the great commission to go into all the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and making disciples of Jesus Christ. May God confirm the preaching of his word with signs and wonders following in your life. For free sermon notes, visit www.harvesterchurch.net and click on the Sermons tab. Search for the topics you need and keep spreading the word. Remember that some of these teachings are also available on DVD from Pelser Media. So contact Apostle Aja Pelser at ajepelser@gmail.com for more information. Now, here is Apostle Aja Pelser.
I want to talk about godly influence in your life. I'll give you some examples of godly influence in the Bible. I asked God through the years, you know, I've lived with my parents and I've heard my dad preach and I've seen them suffer and I've seen them sell everything, and I realized, yeah, it would be nice if we didn't have to do that. So God, why didn't you just give us everything we need to do all the things you've asked us to do? And the Holy Spirit is so good, you know. He gives you such wonderful perspective. Talk to the Lord sometimes honestly, huh? Tell him how you really feel. It doesn't help you go to the God, to God as some entity out there and say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hello, what's thy name?" And speak to God like he's out there somewhere, he doesn't understand what you're going through. I've learned from our Uncle David in the Bible, when he writes his psalms to God, he unburdens his heart to the Lord and he's honest. So in your prayer life, get honest. Amen. And I'm talking still with respect and reverence to God, but be real with the Lord, because he's waiting for you to be real to give you a real answer. You're just postponing the inevitable. You might as well get on your face before the Lord, cry it out, go somewhere and shout, get it out. Amen. And I like David because he takes all the subjects on and he says, "God, these people have done this and I feel like this and I feel despondent and please, my soul, why are you downcast within me?" Da 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 da. And he carries on. It's good to read the psalm sometimes. You say, this guy's real. Amen. And I find that honesty speeds up the process. I sometimes sit with people and then we have coaching sessions or counseling sessions. And, you know, after half an hour, I still haven't gotten to the actual root of the problem. Because they put on so many masks that you don't know who you're talking to. And by the end of the hour, they say, "Actually, I want to speak about this." And say, "You've just wasted an hour." Get to the point. Be honest. You know, to get to the judgment seat of Christ is a quick route. Go to the judgment seat of Christ. Say, "God, I made this mistake. Help me with this. I'm struggling with that. I'm weak in this area. Be strong in that area for me." So, you know, we've got to be real with God. And a couple of people that were real with God and had great influence on this earth is Abraham. We can look at Joseph, Moses, David, Elijah, a couple of other people. I'm not going to have time for all of them. I'll give you these notes and you can maybe work through it further in your households this week. And of course, we'll look at Jesus. And God's Holy Spirit is so awesome. He's such a good friend. You know, I'm fortunate that I grew up with the Holy Spirit in my thinking and in my conscience. That I could always refer to the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. No matter what situation you're in, you pray in tongues, faith rises in your heart and you can face it. You'd be fearing something or misunderstanding someone or in a situation that's unfair. You pray in tongues, God gives you perspective because your mind's unfruitful. Amen. So I got filled in the Spirit when I was 4 years old, and it's possible to get kids filled in the Spirit. Huh? Help them that way. It'll settle them. It'll take them through their studies. It'll take them through school. They'll navigate through college, through work, through life, through family. Holy Spirit is a very, very special friend, and you need to let him in to your party. I sometimes celebrate with the Holy Spirit. Do you? There's times where I'm alone. Are you alone sometimes? Well, have a meal with the Holy Spirit, for goodness sake. Huh? Hey, Holy Spirit. Cheers. Huh? Holy Spirit, where should I go? Where should I park? Where should I shop? Talk to him. He's a friend. And I find the Holy Spirit's got a wonderful sense of humor as well. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit said to me, Aja, I didn't give you money and finances. I gave you influence. Would you rather have all the money you need at the beginning of your life to cover all your expenses, or would you have godly influence in the nations? Pick. So I'm going, okay, Holy Spirit, you're cleverer than me. I get it. It's not about me and us. It's about your big picture. It's about your kingdom. It's about your covenant. And all these things that we get, that we sometimes give away and then get back and then multiply and then give away again, all those sort of things serve the bigger picture of influence. We can influence our generation to serve the Lord Jesus, to establish the kingdom of God in hearts and minds. Amen. Then you've done something on it. Amen. So start thinking about the spheres in life that God has already given you influence in. And what I've learned is in the spheres that the Lord's given you influence, you can also generate wealth to establish the covenant, but the motive's right. The South Africa went through a recession. First thing I've said to the businessmen and the investors and the people in church that knew some things, I said, immediately have some workshops where people can invest. Like gave him a decree. I said, go and teach people how to do business, make investments, think long term. We did it during the recession. And with many of those investments we got in early and people made money and they generated wealth. And you know, one of our pastors now actually covers his expenses with some of those investments. But the influence was there at the right time to do what it needed to do, you see. I find often with, we talked about rhythm today. You know, when you play drums, this is the beat, right? There's the beat, there's the next beat. And sometimes when people play, they're slightly behind the beat or slightly ahead of the beat. Huh? You're chasing it, chasing, lagging, a little bit fast. Eventually you take out a musical microscope and you bring those little corrections closer and closer and closer to exact time. Right? And what I found is to get regular rhythm going, you need to have regular movement. You need to move correctly. If you move wrong with drums, you get a stiff arm, you get different situations in your carpal tunnels here. You've got to do it right. Your posture and everything must be right. So moving correctly keeps you in time. In Him we live and move and have our being. The things that you do habitually become habits, become lifestyles. Your reading of the word, worshipping the Lord like we do, it's a habit. When we worship, we dance with the worship so that we can get the word that we're singing through our soul into our body and we can have muscle memory of what we sang by the Spirit. To do things right. And then God's timing in your life starts becoming right because you're moving correctly in God. You have regular times of prayer, regular fasting, regular worship, regular Bible reading, but proper Bible reading, not just lucky dip, woordjie vir die dag. Like proper study, structured study that works towards a goal. Amen? We've got a Bible college. Use it. Amen? Use the material that's there. It's been coming 50 years. Our mentors have plowed their lives into this Bible course material. Read it. Amen. They work you through the life of Christ, the book of Acts, the early church, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, all those apostolic letters that came out of the early church. We've got a Bible college that's got apostolic perspective on the entire Bible. It's taken a long time. So if you're new, we'll help you work it through. Because if you say, I'm on frequency with this move of God, But there's some movements you don't understand. You're going to be out of timing with God or out of timing with your brother and sister because you haven't been trained to keep in time. So what I do, you know, you create the right movements and then you raise a standard and you play with a metronome until you develop an internal clock that keeps time consistently without exterior influence. If you do something 10,000 times perfectly, you get muscle memory to do it right continually. It's a concept in sport. Perfect practice makes perfect. So Christians that just read whatever they want to on the internet, pick up a little teaching here, pick up a little teaching there, if they haven't been mentored in the Word to see Christ in every scripture, from an apostolic perspective, because we're talking about the early church, you know, the last few months, Acts 2 verse 42, they continued in apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship and prayers. Apostles' doctrine reminded everybody that, hey, the old covenant is actually about Jesus. And the new covenant is Jesus living out through His church. This is how it works. That's apostolic perspective. Not fancy terms. It's seeing Christ in what you're doing. Focusing on Christ at the center of everything that we're doing. That's why we have the same frequency with other churches around the world, because they're also focusing on Christ. The doctrine is set around Jesus. Very important in this day and age where there's an overload of information that impartation is happening. And that you know what you're receiving, from whom you're receiving it, and how their lives are, and what fruit are in their lives, and how's their families, and let's have a look. Amen? Because Jesus said you'll know them by your fruit. Not just their fancy ministries or their results. You know? And fruit of their lives. Amen? So let's have a look here at Abraham. Now God took him out of, you know, his story. He said, leave the land of your fathers, go to a place that I will tell you. His name was first Abram. And then it became Abraham. And that H is the breath of God into his name. Because Elohim, they weren't allowed to say the ch. They had to say it silently out of respect. Is that correct, my Jewish friend? Okay. So when God changed Abraham's name, He put a bit of him into his name. Like God puts a bit of him into us when we become new creatures. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that breath of the Holy Spirit becomes the, you know. So, Julie Chan. Shantal. The H is really there, but it's silent. Okay. Yeah. Lee. Ha. Hallelujah. Haja. Yes. So the Lord will take you out of the things you have traditions in, out of your little world, and He'll move you into another place spiritually, and He'll teach you how to have faith in Him, and He will make a covenant with you. He'll start putting His name in your name. Your name will become synonymous with God, like Lee was saying, and Herman was saying, people see Christ, God's presence in you, right? Well, that's what a covenant does. You say in a covenant, well, this belt, you exchange belts, because you'd hang your weapons on there, and even money. You'd exchange one shoe, so there were people walking around with half shoes, you know, one shoe this way and one shoe that way. You know, they didn't spit and shake, they cut. Mixed blood, I mean, you know, this is Old Testament stuff. But that's how you cut covenant in the Old Testament. And you also say, what's mine is yours. Now, I know for Lee, because he's a mime, he'll say, what's mine is yours. And please support him next Saturday in Paul. We're doing a Mimages event in the afternoon there at that little theater. What's it called? The Old Mill Theater. Yeah. We're going to support him there. We're reaching out to kids and families and so on with the arts, so that's a nice opportunity to bring some friends and their children. And we're going to be there as well, and it's lovely to visit Paul. But you say in a covenant, what's mine is yours. So if people go to war with you, they go to war with me. That's how the covenant works. And that's what we're saying to God. We cut covenant every Sunday with the blood and the bread. Amen? And Abraham had to cut animals in half, and then God put Abraham to sleep while he was cutting covenant with him. And then a furnace and a torch moved between the pieces while Abraham was sleeping. So Abraham even cut covenant by faith. He saw what was going on in the spirit, but he was in a sleep. God knocked him out. And God said, let me show you. I'm making covenant with my son, the torch, the light, Jesus. The furnace is when God came down on Sinai. It was like a smoking furnace. And it melted the mountain. So that's God. And the torch is Jesus. He says, I'm the light. So two entities moved between the pieces that Abraham and God cut. So God made a covenant with his son, with himself. And Abraham entered in on that by faith. God said things about Abraham. He said, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. Beautiful. Genesis 18, verse 17, the story of Abraham interceding for his family who got hijacked. Genesis 18, verse 16, the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them. God said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? This is when God destroys Sodom. He said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I've known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, and that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Because I know he's going to become a mighty nation. And the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. How did God bless the nations of the earth through Abraham? Jesus was born through his line, right? And then he interceded, but God eventually took Lot out there from Sodom. But God wanted to check in with Abraham first. Huh? Amazing. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the generational blessing that God gave him. And throughout the Bible, that's repeated. And throughout the Bible, people say the whole earth is blessed through the seed of Abraham, being capital S, Jesus. Yeah? So I want you to think about the influence that you have and how it can transcend generations. You're raising up new generations of faith here. Amen. If your family is new to Christianity, you can set up a lineage of blessings. What I've seen is that God multiplies the anointing and the blessings on the following subsequent generations. Somebody came to us and prophesied to my children and said, your children will have double your portion of anointing and creativity. And I'm seeing it, because Eden plays twice as many instruments as I do, you know. It's pretty easy to see that, you know. And I rejoice in it, you see? So if you have influence, you rejoice in the fact that the people you influence will outdo you. Sometimes influence just sparks off or triggers a whole new move. And you need to see that God is using you maybe as a catalyst to influence other people. You're going to disappear in the situation. And they're going to carry on and have major reactions in the spirit for God. Often God uses us like that in the ministry. We've gone into places. People would be fighting with each other. And all of a sudden, you know, because we're there, they all turn on us. They start working together. And all of a sudden there's unity. Turning on the apostles who come to set things in order. And when we leave, sometimes God removes them, and those churches are now working together, and those people that used to fight are gone. That's what a catalyst does. It brings elements together. It purifies gold. Huh? Goes through the fire of it and disappears in the process. So sometimes your influence that you have, you think, God, why those people that I witnessed to, why did they go to another church? Well, you were just a catalyst there. Why are those churches, we've ministered to many churches in other networks. Hey, we're not trying to make everybody harvester. We're doing something for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we just help them along. Amen? What the Lord taught me about influence is that it's gravity. Gravity seems to be a very weak force, right? Because you can see magnetism. Magnetism can go and you can see it. It's very quick. But gravity works over large distances with large masses. That's why we're orbiting the sun, but we're millions of kilometers away. But there's gravity. Amen? And what I've noticed in the spiritual realm is that no matter where we are in the world, God speaks to us and through us and to our friends. And He sometimes does it in dreams. And people wake up and they say, hey, I had a dream about you and you were in my house teaching me this and this and that. And we did it in our church and it worked. And I'm like, wow, that's great because I was sleeping. But it's called gravity. Amen? And gravity means you know who you are in Christ. You know what your core is all about. God has placed substance in you. There's movement in that core that causes gravitational forces. Amen? That pulls people towards Christ in you. And that releases them to go and do what Christ told them to do. That's what gravity does. Gravity puts people in orbit. So they'll come around your life, you'll say something to them, and you'll propel them forward. And all of a sudden, there they go. They've got momentum. Why? Because you gave them a gravitational slingshot for their lives. So I'm careful when I speak to people, and I pick up that there's gravity in their lives. I want them to give me momentum. Like when Tucker was here last week, he's got gravity in his life. Yeah. Suffered a bit, worked through issues, tried and failed in business until he succeeded. It was great to have him here because it gave me a lot of momentum in my thinking about business. Amen? And I'm sure it did so for many others. So when someone like that comes, you must receive their gravity.
Yeah.
Because one day God will use you and you'll go into a situation, you'll see what needs changing. The configuration must change sometimes. You know, to launch something into orbit, you have to plan very carefully because there's something called an escape velocity. If you're not accurate and you launch a satellite and it's at the wrong angle, it might go off into space. You'll never see it again. So the angles and trajectory and the force is very important. You can't just do stuff. You need to be accurate, right? So to place something in a geocentric orbit around Earth, a satellite, right, goes around geosynchronous orbit. It means it goes with the Earth's rotation. They've got to plan it very carefully. I mean, if you want to go to Mars, there's a little window that you can go to Mars. Otherwise, it's too far. And you'll spend 5 years of your life versus 2 years of your life getting to Mars, right? It's a big difference. But you know, Christians do this all the time. Pastor, pray for me. Give me counsel. I've got this issue. He'll say, well, come in. Come, let's train you. I want to do this for God and I want to go. Well, let's train you. Let's prepare you. Let's get you ready. Let's be accurate. Yeah, but I want to go now. 6 years later. Oh, Pastor, I've been through hell. It's been difficult, you know, and I was doing things for God and I don't understand why. I understand why. I was trying to plot your trajectory and you just went. Causing havoc. You bumped into 20 satellites on the way out of Earth's atmosphere. Destroyed several cellular networks. You know, and things are falling on people's heads because of you. Huh? Please, next time let me plot your escape velocity and your trajectory in the kingdom of God because you're going to cause havoc. Hallelujah. Seriously, eh? People, you know, we've got an aircraft carrier, okay? The thing about an aircraft carrier, and we're talking about influence, okay? The thing about an aircraft carrier is that it's designed to have it's a forward presence of a country in an area. So it creates the forward presence of a force coming to invade an area, okay? That is it. That's what when the aircraft carrier moves into a region, they know they're in trouble. Because you can launch a war from there. Right? So it creates influence. And an aircraft carrier is always moving. It doesn't stay in one place. You're moving ahead with God. It's not stagnant. You know? It doesn't stay in the harbor. Huh? So what we do with people relating to us in the move, we stay in touch. You know? Anton's sending me stuff from Pretoria. I'm getting it all. It's fantastic. It's really good. It's a good correspondent. I've got a picture of Rusi as well with her testimony. God healed her voice. It's incredible. We'll put it in our new magazine. So I'm constantly getting, see, we're constantly moving in the spirit, and mutual submission is very important, and accountability is very important. For you to have influence, the Lord showed me that godly correspondence is a key to nations. So many of our missions have come from little emails. People send me an email from Myanmar. Please come to Myanmar. Who are you? No, I'm this guy. I'm doing this and doing that. There's Apostle Andre there. Now there's relations. We've sent him stuff. They're reaching the villages. Little notes between people open up nations. Why? Because people are doors. And a key to those doors is often a godly accountability and a couple of little notes that we keep, that we treasure. My treasure is my dad's sermons and the sermons that we have here and all the things that we have. The teachings. Thousands of sermons now and now on the internet as well. We've shared it with the world. And also those little letters that I've written between churches over the last 20 years. You know, I've got them in files. I've got them on a cloud. I think they're very important. Because I feel that that is plotting a journey of a move and showing people what God has done with testimonies, problems, solutions to the problems, people, mensen al dinge, al die goede huis genootjies sê. A lot of interesting stuff in there. Some of it should be X-Files. And I've got all this information and I'm like exploding with it and I'm thinking, this is valuable stuff. You're getting from around the world. And I can see how God has taken churches from here to there. And people who come to that church should read those notes because, or new leaders should understand how God has worked with this church to get here. So that they'll build carefully on the foundation that's laid. You see, that's what little note keeping and filing and bit of admin does. It creates influence for the next generation. And I realize that Apostle Andre is going like a Boeing. Somebody's going to have to get up and do this stuff. So now we have teams that work on this. Our IT team and everybody. We're keeping everything. We're keeping it precious. And we're now producing books out of it. How to plant a church with all these references. And we don't always mention all the names. You can relax with me. We're sensitive to people's confidentiality. Some of the things, we're sensitive to that, and you can just relax. But very valuable. Amen. So influence from the Lord, and we can look at different ones. There's you get negative influence, bad company, corrupts good morals. Divisive people cause division. Romans 16:17, I urge you to note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Avoid them. Avoid divisive people. I mark them in the spirit. And as an apostle, if I see there's wolves coming in between the sheep, causing harm in the sheep, I take out the wolves. I don't speak nicely to them. Take them out for the sheep's sake. In the network too. People that abuse the network, mock them. So that the other churches will not be duped by them as well. This is how we should work. Amen? Don't let people mess with the sheep of God, with the flock of God. And you can see them. They're the ones that crash land on my aircraft carrier. I can see, here comes a guy. All right. Yeah, you know, he doesn't have any protocols. He didn't phone the tower. He just comes. Yeah. Help me. Oh, I'm a ministry. I'm going to land where I want. I'm going to go where I want. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to get trained. I'm going to steal your fuel and your ammo and leave. Divisive people. Mock them. Thoughts and doubts and fears can influence you negatively if you don't take them captive. Bring them to the obedience of Christ. Weapons of our warfare, not carnal, right? They're mighty for pulling down strongholds. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Huh? We have platforms on which we exert a godly influence on our generation and generations to come. We talk about communion, commission, compassion and care, just to summarize that. Your commission comes out of your communion with God. If you don't have communion with God and brothers and sisters in a body of Christ, you cannot be sent from that group on a commission. Huh? If you don't have a relationship with God, He won't tell you what to do on your mission. So communion first. Amen. And communion as in fellowship with one another, working with one another, fellowship in His sufferings. Not just fellowship, cake and tea, fellowship going through some hardships together, because two fellows in the ship going through a storm, reaching their destination, that's communion. That's fellowship. Amen. Communion with Jesus and His blood and His body, a lot of benefits there. Amen. When we walk in the light, see He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Oh, okay. Good timing. Yeah, what can I say? We're godly drummers, you know. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us of all sin. Amen? So communion releases commission. When Jesus sent out His disciples, it was the same power that He cast out devils with. The word is ekbalo. Ekbalo jou uit, ja? Het die duivel uitgebal, maar het ook sy disciples uitgestuur. Gebal. And you see, there's those orbits again. Yeah? Tremendous force. David, with his sling. He influenced his generation with his little orbit there. He was accurate with it. The escape velocity of David's rock was perfect. He trained while he's looking after the sheep. Faithful in home cell. Faithful to ward off the wolves and the lions and the bear. Huh? Care for people. While you're caring for people, God sharpens your skills spiritually. And your escape velocity comes when God sends you to do something. Then you're accurate. Amen. You hit the target. You know what sin is? To miss the target. Sin is not just lust. We're talking about taking thoughts captive. It's not just sinful thoughts that you take captive. Sometimes it's thoughts that keep you busy. You're busy with God's things. Huh? But you're not busy with how God wants you to do it. And you've got to take those thoughts captive because it's dead works now. You're not operating out of rest. You're not operating accurately. And you're frustrated with yourself, with God and other people. And you don't know why it's not working. Get your communion back into order and your commission will come right. Amen. And when Jesus went out, you know, even when John was beheaded, Jesus was moved with compassion, like from his bowels of emotion, came out of him to see the people sick and in need and so on. And so Jesus went out and he prayed for them and healed all their sick. That's what compassion does. Amen. That's what our evangelist was pulling out of you today. He was saying, he was encouraging us, keep going out, keep going out. Amen. I was in a gang-infested area this... I'm not going to say which area. I was in a gang-infested area this week and I heard some of the traumas that people go through on a weekly basis. I was moved with compassion for them. So, I mean, God, what can I do for these people? When you start feeling that, it's time to care. Huh? You get compassion and then you start caring for them. Huh? I can only care for someone that has already experienced the compassion of God through me. It's easy to pass to someone that's experienced the compassion of God. That's why we say we must love. Huh? Commissioned to go, commanded to love. And when you pray for people and you take a sincere interest in ordinary people, and you're moved with compassion, like sincere compassion from your guts, that's where you minister from. That's where miracles happen. That's where you really go into their souls. Amen? And they feel the love of God. Then you can care for them. Up to that point, you can't tell them, come to house group, come to church. Amen? So get into your prayer closet and pray for those people until you feel the compassion of God for them. Then you act. Then you can care for them. Because up to that point, if you try and care without this, it's going to frustrate you and them. And they're not going to listen to you. But when God does a miracle in someone's life, when they see you really, really, really have love for them, when they see you can cry with them and laugh with them and go through their storm with them, and you can take them out through the other side, hey man, that love for you to care for them. Because they know you've got real love. They'll see Christ in you. Amen? So this influence in the Bible gives us platforms for our future performance as sons of God. We have a set vector for our force of influence. You know, you can have influence in various ways, but if you do it for the Lord, it'll have long-term results. God's built our capacity to influence people, organizations, communities, traditions, cultures, economies, governments, business, education, fine and performing arts, the media, our own offspring and their generations to come as well. Remember that influence is more powerful than money. The power to generate wealth is given to those who establish His covenant in the earth. For us who believe in Jesus, wealth is a means to an end, and the end is eternal godly influence and glory. Amen. That's what influence means. The capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the actual effect itself. And what effect will your life have on someone? Amen. That's the fruit. People remember how you did things. Not always what you did also, but how you did it. How they felt in your presence. Did they feel that you cared? Or did they just see your performance? It's amazing that that sort of influence or aura of a person lingers long after they're out of the room. Amazing, eh? Some people you think, yeah, that left a bad taste in my life, in my mouth. Some people just bring a dark cloud of influence into the room. Influence you to get depressed. Amen? May we exert godly influence. That's my prayer. I believe we're doing it, but to understand it, then you're established in it. Amen? Children, influence your friends at schools. Parents, influence other parents. People working in the corporate world, influence the corporate world. Reform it, change it. It's not working, okay? It needs change. It needs reformation. As dingen if honor and solely celebrate, eh? Thank you, Jesus. If you can see that God's placed you there, exert that influence. Let it go out like a sweet fragrance and let your gravity start working. And it's not always just what you say. It's how you live and move and have your being in Christ that exerts a godly influence there. Amen. May God help you. God help us. And from time to time, the Holy Spirit will bring little alignments and corrections into your how you move. Allow it. Amen? It's not something you can really have an altar call for. Who wants to align themselves for the proper escape velocity today so that you can have a godly influence? It's something that the Holy Spirit must produce in you. Amen? And you start with the little things. So Lord, we thank you for the church. Thank you for everybody here today. Lord, I know that they're already exerting a godly influence in their lives. I pray that you'll expand that influence in Jesus' name. That you'll bring the alignments that need to come. That you'll change the inner configurations that need to change. And Lord Jesus, I pray that they'll also remove other external influence so that they can be godly influences in Jesus' name. I'm reminded of that encouragement, first the natural and then the spiritual. If you can influence someone in a conversation or talk about some things that you can do and you make a disciple, you start with that and then you go spiritual with them. Amen? When you see they receive from you, then you can take them further. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think, Julian, I just see that you need to start seeing how the Lord uses you to influence others. Take your own goggles off and start putting God's goggles on and see how He sees. There's a new level of influence coming through your life. His yoke will be easy and His burden will be light. Don't fear. And don't be like Gideon, you know, say, I can't do it. I'm just stretching by myself. I'm just taking care of me. God's got something bigger for you. Ask God for a sign. Talk to the Lord. Amen. Go read that little section about Gideon and see how he influenced his generation. And God's going to do it in ways you wouldn't believe. Jesus' name. There's things you need to do. Thank you, Jesus. Godly influence. Amen. Thank you, Father, for godly influence. In his spheres that he moved, in the circles that he moved, in the countries that he moved. Thank you, Father God, that he will first do things in the natural and then things in the spiritual. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that kings will bow to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for divine authority and gravity wherever he moves. That you'll shift things into place. And they'll even reform physical, logistical ways of people. And that will come right and into line. You'll raise the standard in people's lives in Jesus' name. And you'll bring about rest and peace and the kingdom of God in their lives. And they'll ask him about his faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Godly influence for these boys, these young people sitting here. Lord shows me that you're going to open your mouth at the right time. You'll speak to your friends. Amen. And you'll have influence in their lives. You'll see. You'll see. When they don't know what to do, you're going to give them answers in Jesus' name. Amen. And I can go through everybody here. I want you to go and meditate on it. Chew it a little bit. See the spheres of influence God's already given you. Start using them properly. Amen. The taxis, my brother. Yes. I see it. Amen. Go and influence that whole world. Amen. And God will bless your business. You'll see. Because you're doing something for the kingdom. And so on. And so on. Amen. If you still need prayer, I'll pray for you afterwards. I'm going to release you in the fear and grace and peace of the Lord. But I'm really seeing galaxies open for you right now. Go and explore it this week and let the Lord take you further. Amen. God bless you. Amen.